Welcome to the January 26th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, and the sermon is entitled, The Beauty of Serving, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
I'm grateful to have an opportunity to break open the bread of life today with you. If you have your Bibles with you, I hope you do. Acts chapter number 3, a very familiar story we will look at today. But I want to start out by saying this. Some of you know I do taking some classes, and one of my first assignments of the semester was simply this, to write a paper just explaining the responsibility and the job of the church. Now, I was limited on my word count because that could go on and on. But there's so much that I've learned over 2.5 years of being in this position that I did not know in a lifetime before of serving, of what it means to be the church. And so I'm grateful that God is leading us through this study about serving and impacting. Remember the call on every one of us, to every one of us today is this. I don't care if you're a member of this church, you're visiting today from another church and you're going back. I don't care what God has you here today to hear this word. The opportunity we have to serve through our local church is unmatched. And it is a great responsibility that I believe every believer will have to answer for one day. And so what a responsibility to do that jointly as the body of Christ. I'm not here to preach Clifford Baptist Church. I'm not here to preach SBC. I'm here to preach Jesus Christ. And when we unite our hearts and our lives around our Savior, it's amazing what God will lead you to do. And so with that said, the call is this, that every person find the one spot in the local church to serve and serve him faithfully and serve him well. And today, we're going to step outside of the church. And we're going to see what it is like to serve in everyday life and how beautiful that can be. Many of us like to be prepared. Now, I don't know about you, I like to be prepared. I don't like something coming out of left field and hitting me. I don't like that. If something's coming, I want somebody to say, Jeffrey, watch out, here it comes. Right? Just like that foul ball in the baseball game, everybody says, heads up, right? And everybody's like, you know, we're ready for it no matter where it lands. But so many times in our lives, we like to be prepared. Right now, one of the greatest responsibilities that I have, along with my wife Terry, is preparing two teenage boys for the world that awaits them. We're trying to prepare them. God gives us about 18 plus years, maybe a little bit more, but we'll invest in them for the rest of their lives. We know that. But 18 years, we're going to turn them to this hard world and expect them to be successful. Maybe you have or can relate to that in a career, or you have gone to school, you are educated, you are trained in a profession, but I want you to know nothing prepares you quite like on-the-job training and experience. You can be the best teacher in school, but when you get to the classroom and you got 20 kindergarten kids, no thank you. That's a totally different story. There's only so much that prepares you for that experience. And so today, one of the lessons that we need to learn in the church is if you wait till you are ready or you're good enough or you think you're right to serve your Lord, statistics tell us you will never do that. You will never serve. You will never be good enough. You will never feel like you will be adequately able to do the job that is before you. I strongly suggest today that as we look in this word today, figure out where you land in the story. There are a couple of people that we're going to look at, but figure out where you land in the story and look at the beauty that is entailed with serving our master. Every believer should be serving their Lord in some way. Amen? Some way. Now, there are ways and there are areas you can say no. If you ask me to join the choir, that is a hard no coming from the pastor. I'm not doing it. I'm not gifted there. If you ask me to go and stand at the door and welcome people, you're in my ballpark. It's good to know where you are gifted and where you're not. But don't feel like you must be 100% right, ready, and prepared before you say yes, because then God has no room to work on you through that serving. So today, a beautiful encounter with a beggar will teach us where the beauty lies in serving our master. Acts chapter number 3 today. The first 3 verses of God's word reads like this. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. Point number 1 today, the beauty of serving is there is opportunity in the ordinary. There's opportunity in the ordinary. And what do I mean by that? Luke, I believe, is the writer of this book of Acts, tells us about an encounter in Jerusalem at this gate. There is Peter and John. They are headed to the temple in the afternoon. And many of you know the Jewish day was a 12-hour day. It began at 6 a.m., and it lasted 12 hours to 6 p.m. So when in your Bible you read about the 3rd hour, that would be 9 a.m. When you read about the 6th hour, that's noon. And when we read here about the 9th hour, we're looking about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when this is taking place. And it's also said is it is a time of prayer. And that was the Jewish people prayed 3 times a day. It fell in line with that. So they're going to the temple to pray. In the normality of their day, Peter and John are doing what they always have done. They get up and they're going to the temple to pray. And along the way, they encounter this beggar. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you are routine people? Day in, day out, you get up at the same time, you get dressed the same way. Jeffrey falls in that category. If I'm not out of my house by 6:15, I'm late. Okay? That's just how Jeffrey operates. Don't question it. It's insanity, okay? But that's my routine. You get up, you walk the dog, you get the kids up, you get yourself dressed, and you're out the door, and you leave everybody else to take care of themselves. Thankfully, Terry is there as well. But day in and day out of our schedule, there are opportunities all around us. And here's what we've got to be careful. And Jeffrey is guilty in that. I get so much into my schedule, I don't notice usually sometimes what goes on around me. And so I know I've got to run into Food Lion to grab a jar of cocktail sauce. There's one thing on my mind, cocktail sauce. You put your blinders on and you go to aisle number, I don't know the aisle, I'm not that good, okay? Let's say it's aisle 3 or 4 maybe. Let's go to aisle 4. You get that cocktail sauce and you get out of there. Hey, it won't take but a minute. And in that routine, there's so much going on around us. Maybe you find yourself in that routine in your workplace. Maybe you find it at school. Maybe you find it at home. It's just a routine. I'm worried about what I need to do, what I need to get done. That's it. I'm going home and that's my day. Day in and day out, there are opportunities that surround every one of us to serve someone else. What does that look like? I love the picture here, and I'm going to get back to it. It's the picture of going in twos. It's always better when you serve with somebody you know, with a friend, with another believer. But we see here Peter and John going to that temple, going to do what ordinary people do. They're on their way. They cross paths with this lame man. And notice what Luke says. Now remember, Luke is a physician. He is a doctor. And as Luke is writing this book of Acts, look what catches the doctor's eye, this lame man. This man is sitting by the gate. He needs something. The doctor sees it. and he records this encounter. Here's what he says and gives in detail in Acts 3, verse number 2. He tells us about this lame man. There are four things in that one verse. The first thing is this, that he had been unable to walk since birth. He was born that way. He knows nothing different. And so you may say, Jeffrey, that's nothing big, but how many times do we get in discussion or talk and we just say, oh, they were born that way. They can't help it. They were born that way. Sometimes we use that as an excuse of the reason that we cannot help somebody. They were born that way. You can't change them. And so what Luke records is this lame man was lame since his birth. He was born that way. And so many in this area, in this city, probably saw this little boy grow up and become a man who is still lame, who still depends on others. Things haven't changed in his life. But Dr. Luke says he's been that way since birth. The second thing Luke says is this. He depended on others to bring him to the gate. Notice as you see that, when whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. So every day, it was the same routine. He got up. He did what he could. He waited on his help, his friends, somebody to come get him to this temple gate. But he depended on others for their means of transportation to do what he needed to do. The third thing that we see that Luke records is it happened every day. Every day he woke up, he knew he was going to the gate. His day never changed. His life never changed. He knew where he was going, and that's what it was for that day. Man, my heart, when I read this and when I started to write this sermon, my heart broke for this guy. Nothing ever changed. Every day he's going to the gate. Every day he's a beggar. Every day he's hoping to get by. Every day this is what he has to look forward to. And I sit there and say, what a life. That's hard. And he went there to, the fourth thing is to ask alms. He went there to get money. Now remember, in this day, there's no nursing home. There's no one to take care of him. He was looked down on by society, and he was looked down on by the religious people of his day because of his condition. And it was to those religious people he would beg during the ninth hour because they were coming to the temple. He was at the gate, and he knew that was a good chance for Christian people to help him out. And so there's opportunity in the ordinary. Look at verse number 3. This beggar who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms. I don't know what that's like, but maybe it's something like this. Can you help me? Can you help me? Do you have any extra change to spare? Ordinary life is playing out for different ones in this story. Ordinary people doing what they normally do. And most of us can relate. Most of us can relate to going to church. We do it every week. Most of us can relate to seeing somebody in need or somebody asking money. We can relate to that, but we cannot relate because usually we're on the other side of it being asked. The beauty of serving is this. There's opportunity in everyday normal life to serve people in the name of Jesus. You don't have to leave the state. You don't have to leave the country. And some of us, the reality is, you don't necessarily have to even leave the house to minister in the name of Jesus. Here's my question. Think of your ordinary day and think of who's in your path that you can minister to. As we see, ministry happens, and ministry gives us opportunity in those ordinary day-by-day moments. Look at verses 4-6. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Point number two is there is capability in Christ. Capability in Christ. I sit here and look at Peter and John. They're going to church. I look at the friends that help this guy out every day. I look at this lame man who is asking for money. And I see that Peter and John are interrupted. In verse number 4, Peter's eyes catch this man as he asks the question, do you have anything? Can you help me? Do you have anything to give me? And they address that question. How many of us are so busy that we miss the opportunity that God lays before us? Just like I said, we're so focused on the food line order that I miss the ministry opportunity. Notice what they do here. They address this beggar. And in doing so, the first thing they do, they make sure they have his attention. Look at us, they say in verse number 4. Look at us. Here comes the can of worms. Put yourself in that beggar's shoe. If somebody said, look at me, you begin to hope and you begin to think, okay, here's what I've hoped for. Here's what I've prayed for. Here's what I've waited all day for. These people are going to give me what I need. They're going to give me a money. They're going to give me some money. And as he lights up, he obeys and he looks to them. They have his attention, and I believe not only are Peter and John working, I believe the Holy Spirit is at work here. He is working in their lives. He is working in this situation. They demand his attention. They have piqued the beggar's curiosity, and he obliges and he looks at them knowing that he's about to get something that he asked for. I'm sure many times he had been asked and turned down. He had been walked by. But these two men carrying the gift of God and the power of God, they could perform miracles. And God is working through these men, and they are about to share the greatest thing they have. Here's a couple of things that you need to know. Number one, when you serve, there are certain things you cannot do. And that's okay. If you ask me to sing in the choir, I'm going to politely tell you no, ask somebody else. But if you sit or stand by me during a worship service, you will hear a joyful noise. There are certain times that if we don't have money, we can't give money. If you don't have a gift, you can't help. If you don't have a pickup truck, you can't haul something. If you don't have a saw, you can't cut firewood. There are certain times you got to say, no, I can't help you here. But Christian, just because you can't meet a physical need doesn't mean you can't meet a spiritual one. And so the second part of this is this. Simply give them what you have. That doesn't mean throw open your wallet to them and give them everything you have. But we must always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in us. That's what Peter writes later. And I wonder if Peter thought back to this moment when he said, oh, I gave them exactly what I had. I was ready to give them Jesus. That's all I had. There are days that I live in this world that I don't have a dime on me. But friends, we have the greatest, most valuable thing in all the world. And his name is Jesus. And if we fail to minister in his name, shame on us. Peter demonstrates that here. He says, I don't have any money. In his words, in verse number 6, silver and gold have I none. But I'll give you exactly what I have, and all I have is Jesus. And in the power of the name of Jesus, here's what I'm going to command you to do. Stand up and walk. Now listen, as Christians, we get excited here because we want to go to the end of that. We say, oh, if we can make people walk, if we can heal people, if we could, I mean, I would be sharing Jesus with, would you? Would you? Because that same Jesus is the same Jesus I serve today. And though I may not have the power, Jesus does. And if I fail in my wanderings throughout my day to speak the name of Jesus, I feel like a failure. I chuckled as I wrote this sermon, and Peter says, the only thing I can give you is Jesus. And in his name, look at verse number 6, rise up and walk. Do y'all realize that this guy doesn't know what that means? Because he's never done it. He doesn't know what it means to stand up. He doesn't know what it means to walk. This guy has never done it before. And yet in the name of Jesus, Peter says, stand up and walk. He depended on his friends for those things for so long. They would pick him up and they would drop him at the gate. They would pick him back up from the gate and take him back home. And then the next day they do it all over again. Pick him up and drop him at the gate, and then pick him up from the gate and drop him at home. To stand up and walk was something that he had never done in all his life. He knew what begging was. He knew where the gate was. He knew what rejection was. And in every way, he always received the same result: rejection. He may have received some change here and there, a piece of bread or a meal here and there, but none of what he asked for changed his situation. It just got him from one day to the next. And the next day, it was the same old thing. And so today, we see a man that for the rest of his life would be stuck in this rut day in and day out unless the power of Jesus changed his life. Many of us are like this beggar. We are powerless in our problems. Around this room, we all have something going on. We all deal with stuff. And here's the reality: you're powerless in that. This guy would have changed his life if he could, but he can't. His only hope was a miracle. We're powerless in our problems, but here's what I want you to know. Even though we're powerless in our problems, the power is in Jesus to change those. And so, as this man, through Peter and John, meets Jesus, things change. How many of you know our ability or our capability to serve him is nothing in our own doing? Now, you have talents and you have giftings. Praise God for those things. But we are weak, and it is in that weakness that he gives us strength, and he makes us perfect in our weakness. There are things that we cannot do outside of the help of the Lord. Here's what you need to know. Trust in Christ. Where you are weak, he will be your strength. Even the pastor goes into situations thinking, I don't know what to say here. Lord, you're going to have to help me. You're going to have to give me the words, or you're going to have to give him the strength. I can't do this. And so today, there is power in Jesus. How many of you know that Jesus can make the confused become clear? Jesus can turn failure into success. He can turn the can'ts into cans, and he can make the lame to rise and walk. And so today, what we must understand is where there is no source or sight of change, Jesus is the power that can change those things. There's one more point as this story concludes. Look at verses 7 through 10. So Peter told him to rise up and walk, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. Taking Peter's hand, this lame man stands. The Bible says his legs and feet and ankles immediately receive strength. He stands, he walks, he leaps on legs that have never been used before. You got to understand, that's a great miracle. Because many today, if you spend a couple days, if you spend 2 days in a hospital bed, it takes you 2 weeks to recover from that. So immediately, this guy has strength in his legs. He's never used those legs before in his life, and now he is walking and leaping. But that's not the greatest miracle. This man takes those legs that he's never used before, and he walks into church. For so many years, he sat outside because the religious leaders would not let him in. He was condemned outside. He had to stay outside. He could not be inside because he was an unclean man. He had to stay outside of the church. And so for the first time, the legs take him to church. Wow. Have you ever been with somebody the first time they walked into church? This man enters the temple for the very first time in his life. He walks into that church somewhere he has never been before. But that's not the greatest miracle. Those lips that begged for money, that begged for help, that begged for food, now sing the praises of God. And all the people around him see him do two things. According to verse number 9, they see him walking and they see him praising God. Two things he had never done before, walked or praised God. He'd never done that before, and everybody hears it off the lips of this man. And the only thing they'd ever heard him say is, can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? Do you have? Do you have? Do you have? I need, I need, I need. And now this beggar is jumping and praising God. He's not praising Peter and John. It's not karma. It's not vibes. It's not by chance. It's not an accident. It is God. And so we've got to be careful as Christians to give credit where credit is due. It is God. God did a work, and God did a miracle far greater than this man had expected on this ordinary day. What is the greatest miracle? Is the greatest miracle this man's legs that were healed? Absolutely not. Is the greatest miracle his lips that were praising God? No way. It was a life changed by the hand of God. This ordinary day teaches me that God uses faithful people, number one, where they are. He uses you where you are to carry out his work and his plan through his people. Where you are. You don't need to look for a stage or you don't need to look for a missionary trip. Start at home. The hardest missionary field is inside your four walls. You start there. And then you look at everyday life, the places that you work, the friends that you hang out with, the places that you shop. Those are places where the Lord can use you. Also, what we see, God uses faithful people like Peter and John to witness to people. These two men witnessed to this beggar and gave him the only thing they had, which was Jesus. If you're like me, you think you've got to be like Billy Graham or somebody in order to witness to somebody. You know, I can't talk to people like David Jeremiah does on TV. God doesn't call us to be those people. God calls us to be Gene and Jeffrey, Howard, Jim, Randy. God calls us to be ourselves where we're planted, but be something greater than ourselves because God lives inside of us. God uses faithful people, the third thing, that he would get the glory out of our lives. The miracles were seen by many. The praise was directed to God. But when God works, testimony points to him. It doesn't point back at ourselves. You know, if I was Peter and John here, I'd probably be high-fiving or something and saying, look what we did. No. No. It's look what God did. And how humbly he used two imperfect people to do it. Serve God with all that you have, knowing this, that sometimes you will be able to meet physical needs, and sometimes you've just got to give them what you have, and that is Jesus. And Jesus is powerful enough. Always point to Jesus. So, closing today, who do you relate to? Maybe you're sitting here today and you say, I can relate to that beggar. I've been trying everything that the world gives me. I've been reaching to the world and asking for different things, and I need these things. And there's one thing I've yet to reach. There's one place I've failed to reach, and that's to Jesus. The first place we should reach is often the last place. And so if you're here today and you can relate to this beggar that you've tried everything that the world has to offer and it's not met that need, here's what I humbly say. Reach for Jesus. Jesus Christ loves you. Jesus Christ took your sin to a cross. Jesus Christ died for you. He rose on the third day to give you life, a hope, and a future. Praise be to God for that. Here's what that does not say. That does not say you'll have everything you ever want. It'll all be perfect. You've got it all figured out now. That's not what it means. This man still had a life to live. When Jeffrey gets to heaven, I don't know what that's going to be like. I'm going to look for this man. Because I want to know how the rest of the story played out. I want to know if he remained faithful. I want to know if he took those legs and maybe he went to a mission field. Maybe he took those legs and he went on a mission for Savior. I don't know. Maybe he took those lips and began to speak about Jesus because Jesus changed his life. Today, if you are here, brother or sister in Christ, and Jesus changed your life, we should not contain that to ourselves. I'm not saying we got to leap and jump around. If the Lord leads you to do that, so do it. We should not be able to contain what changed our life. just like this crippled man couldn't contain what changed his. Church, how do we go through normal everyday life and don't miss what's laying in front of us? Let's open our eyes. Let's serve our God by serving those around us. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to just share your holy word. And only the way that you can, Lord, I pray that your spirit would work now, Lord, and we trust you to do that. You know every heart. You know every situation. Lord, you know every trouble that is going on inside this room and those that are watching live stream. My prayer today, Lord, is you will meet those needs. Lord, I pray for that one person that has tried everything else, searching, looking, begging, and they've never been touched by the Holy Spirit. God, if you will change that one life and bring them to you, Lord, we will rejoice in that. We will give you the praise and honor and glory. Lord, for the believers in the room, may we not miss what is around us, the opportunities before us, Lord, to give Jesus. Simply put, to give Jesus. Lord, may we as believers be ready and prayerful for those opportunities to share the good news of how Jesus changed our lives. Lord, we submit this time to you. Have your way in the lives of your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.